Hello again, dear friends, and Merry Christmas from our heart to your heart, our house to your house. We just pray today that this day is going to be extremely blessed of the Lord. And to help make it a blessing in the Lord, we're going to get into God's Word this Christmas afternoon and pray that through that you might and I might and we might collectively get a hold of the real, true meaning of this birth and let it impact us the way God intended it for. This is a day to understand and appreciate that a mission has been accomplished that began in Bethlehem, that climaxed and culminated on an old rugged cross at Calvary. And I want you to know it's not over yet. What happened between the cradle and the cross is still moving forward God's great plan to redeem to Himself a people from a people. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm excited today about this Christmas because regardless of the weather conditions, regardless of the world conditions, regardless of my personal circumstances and situation, I know what God did in and through Christ because of the cradle and the cross. Today we're going to talk to you in just a moment about Christmas 2012, a celebration of reconciliation. This is the core issue of Christmas itself for the Christian, and we want to communicate to the world about us the real reason for the season, the reason for our peace, the reason for our joy, the reason for our optimism in such a negative day, in such a perilous time, in such a condition of the world and conditions within our nations, conditions in our homes, our marriages, within our families. We need the message of hope that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings. And it begins in a manger in Bethlehem. It is culminated on a cross on top of Mount Calvary. But it isn't over. It didn't start at Bethlehem. It started before the foundation of the world. And it didn't stop at Calvary. It continues, for God is at work as a result of this death and this life that Jesus came to live and to die. We have hope today for tomorrow. We have hope for eternity. We have hope that conquers and cancels death itself. Praise God. Amen. And so I'm bringing a message of hope because we're going to bring the reason for the season to you today in this time that we have. Christmas 2012, a celebration of reconciliation. The Bible says first, before we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible is very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, the Scriptures continue to say, no, not one. Without a Savior, we would be in a hopeless situation, helpless to ever recover from the curse that sin brought into this perfect, wonderful world that God had created for us to live in. It doesn't resemble anything like the Garden of Eden any longer, for blood has been shed and will continue to be shed until the Prince of Peace comes. Amen. But in the meantime, we need the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Death did not occur in God's original plan. Loved ones could never be taken from us. We would never know the pain of death nor the pain of losing a loved one. But today, that reality stares us starkly in the face. But I'm telling you something today from the Word of God, because of what Jesus accomplished through His coming into this fallen world and what He did at the cross, through what has been accomplished through that birth and that death of crucifixion and that resurrection, what has been accomplished through that is the core issue of this entire Christmas celebration for Christians, and we want to share the hope that it gives us, the peace that it has brought us to the world about us today. This is the great message of Christmas. It's a celebration of reconciliation. Sin has created such a chasm between fallen man and a holy God that it cannot be bridged by us becoming as holy as He, and yet He cannot accept us as we are, being the holy God that He is. But He can and does love us in spite of what we are. He has loved us enough, according to the Scripture, to give His only begotten Son. Amen. This is for the supreme purpose of reconciling us unto Himself. Amen. So that He can not only love us in His heart, but hold us in His arms. Praise God. Amen. Christmas 2012, a celebration of reconciliation. I'm going to read that scripture, and it doesn't sound Christmassy at first, but when we're done with the message, you'll understand how vital this scripture is to the true reason for the season, the true essence of Christmas itself. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation here means to put an end to the conflict, to make friendly. Again, it's the bringing together of two former enemies and seeing them embrace. I want you to know something, friend. When it said that God was in Christ, it didn't mean just at His incarnation, when He became Emmanuel, God with us as a babe in a manger. But God was in Christ in particular when He hung on the cross between heaven and earth, when, as the Scriptures declare, He that knew no sin became sin, literally treated as if He was a sinner and a sinful man. He who knew no sin became sin, that He might deliver us from the curse of sin itself, the curse of the law, the trespass against God that is already got the death penalty upon it. Jesus died that death, took that punishment, that we might be forgiven and reconciled unto God. You know, the Scripture said the just has suffered for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. This is being reconciled. And to every one of us that have been saved, every one of us that have had our sins forgiven and accepted Christ as our Savior, we have been given the word of reconciliation. We have the truth of the gospel to share with someone else that needs to be reconciled. We have a word from the Lord that we're able to give them, for God so loved the world. It can be a scripture, or it can be the substance of that scripture. It is a word of reconciliation. We, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, can go to everyone at every opportunity in this world about us and tell them that God loves them, God has a wonderful plan for their life, and God has purposed in His heart that none be lost, but that all might have eternal life through forgiveness of sins. And He sent His Son to go to the cross to reconcile us unto Himself. And to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That is the message that first brought angels to this planet to shepherds in the fields on that first Christmas day. And it's now carried by those of us who have come to know Christ as our personal Savior. The message hasn't changed. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. That's what gospel means. It's the good news to those who can't save themselves, to those of us, which is all of us, who have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is hope for us in Christ Jesus, that we can have our sins forgiven, that we can be reconciled unto the Lord. I'm going to read the Christmas scripture from the narrative out of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This, my friend, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So really, the Christmas message is a Christian message, and it is a message to be appreciated, appropriated, and disseminated, shared with others throughout the year. And the message is this, that God takes the peace initiative. He seeks reconciliation. He sends a Savior so that we can be forgiven and thereby reconciled unto God. But for that forgiveness to occur, sin had to be judged. And the glory of His birth is that He was born to go to the cross to pay our sin debt in full. The great message of Christmas is the great proclamation, amen, that Jesus has come so that sinners can be saved. The separated from God can be reconciled and reclaimed. The lost sought after and restored. The alienated reconciled unto God. All because Jesus took our place at the cross. He suffered our punishment for the express purpose of reconciling us to God. One writer commented on Isaiah chapter 53:5, and he said it was our sins that did that to Him, that ripped and tore and crushed Him. Our sins. Of course, the fifth verse of Isaiah 53 said that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. Praise God. One of the most powerful true stories to illustrate the gospel of Jesus Christ comes from missionaries who threatened to leave if two warring tribes did not stop killing one another. This happened way back some years ago, but Don and Carol Richardson gave this particular account. That was a serious threat to them. They liked Carol's medical care and Don's steel implements. Plus, the presence of the white family gave them status. The chief of Don's tribe recognized that he had to pay the price of peace. One day, Don watched the warriors of the warring tribes form a line opposite each other. The chief took his tribe, and the other chief took their tribe, and the chief of Don's tribe that he was ministering to took his newborn son from the arms of his wife. She sank to the ground wailing in uncontrollable grief because she knew what was about to occur and what was about to happen. Then the chief walked down the line of his warriors, and each of them put their hands on this little firstborn child. With the determination and resolve, the chief walked across the open space between the two warring tribes. He stood face to face with the enemy chief and placed his son in his enemy's arms. with a baby in his arms, the enemy chief walked down the line of warriors in full view of the father and the father's tribe. Each enemy warrior placed his hands on the baby boy. Next, the warriors turned and disappeared in the bush with the infant. The baby was gone, never to be returned to its grieving parents. The Richardsons wondered what the ceremony meant. One day the chief said unto them, "I offered my son as the peace child for our tribes. As long as my son lives, there will be peace between our tribes. If he dies, war will resume. Anyone who kills a peace child will himself be killed." Friend of mine, I want to submit to you today, amen, that Jesus Christ is God's peace child. And He will never die. He will live forever. God raised Him up to live eternally, to ever live, to make intercession for you and for me and for us. Don then gathered the people of both tribes together and shared how God, our Heavenly Father, sent Jesus to this earth as His peace child to make peace between God and man. The Scripture said in Isaiah 9:6, didn't it? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulders, and He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and of all those regal names, the last is the one that becomes of most precious importance to us all, the Prince of Peace." Just as the warriors put their hands on the chief's little son as a sign that they accepted this little boy as their peace child, so we by faith receive Jesus Christ into our lives to show that we are at peace with God. The difference in the stories is that God's peace child, hallelujah, lives forever. You know, the New Testament says that He's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God through Him, seeing that He ever lives to make intercession for them. He stands between a holy God and fallen man and declares that He has reconciled us unto our God at the cross so that we could have not only just the legal aspect of salvation, the forensic aspect, if you please, sins forgiven, but that we might have fellowship and relationship with the God that we sinned against. Hallelujah. The Bible said the just has suffered for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That's what reconciliation is all about. The message of Christmas is so powerful and so wonderful unto us. A child is born, a son is given, literally a peace child has been born, that we could have peace with God and that we could experience the peace of God. Jesus did not become our peace child by lying in a manger. He became our peace child by dying on a cross. Praise the Lord. Amen. Every time we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the fact that Jesus didn't come into this world to look over our sins and give us a free ticket to heaven. He came to take our punishment and satisfy God's justice. He saves us by becoming our sacrifice, by giving Himself in our behalf, our peace child. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 reads, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." The darkness in all our hearts, the deeds of wickedness, it was all piled on Him. And on that cross, God's wrath was poured on Him. No one ever suffered like Him. No one ever saved like Him either. No one can save but Him. He is God's Son, God's peace child given. He is our peace child. when we receive Him. Friend, I don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You will not find true peace in a package under a Christmas tree. You can find it only at the cross. Not since the first Christmas 2,000 years ago has there been such anger and angst against Christ and Christians in particular. Christmas 2012 is bringing into clear view once again the conflict of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. No world religion is persecuted in America like Christianity. Christmas is under attack because Satan knows the power of this peace child to save and deliver and set free. Praise God. Amen. I've often said, and I'm saying it again today, that Satan fights what he fears, and he fears the very name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't like Christ in Christmas and does everything in his power to remove Christ from Christmas. But here we are again celebrating the Christ of Christmas. He fears we who know him and proclaim him. Ah, Christian friend of mine, this is a Christmas to remember. In the midst of all the debate, the threat of lawsuits, the heated arguments, a name is being brought into the collective consciousness of the American public. It is not Santa Claus, and it's not old Saint Nick, it's not Rudolph, it's not Visa or MasterCard, it's not Macy's or Walmart. So what is all the hoopla about? What is the paramount issue of Christmas 2012? It is Jesus, who is the Christ of Christmas. I really like the old Evie Turnquist song. Says it's a name above all names, and we will shout it to a dying world. This year, Christmas will have a new ring to it, a new resonance, the joy of sins forgiven, the peace of reconciliation, the love that brought Jesus into this world to save you and to save me. The gospel is so powerful and so wonderful. Our faith is so precious and so glorious. That's why I love that other song. This season you hear, good Christian, men rejoice. Praise God. God rest ye, merry gentlemen indeed. For hallelujah, for unto you in this city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Praise God. Peace with God is not something we can earn through our good deeds. It's a gift that we freely receive. The Bible said, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. See, peace among those tribes was brought about by the gift of the peace child. Each warrior indicated his willingness to receive the gift by placing his hands on the peace child. And Jesus said this, didn't he? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. So this Christmas day, this Tuesday, 2012, I invite you to symbolically reach out your hand today and touch the Lord Jesus and say, thank you for being my peace child. Thank you for taking the punishment for my sin by dying on the cross for me. This day, I will celebrate the wonderful gift of eternal life. Praise God. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, you are the very focus of Christmas itself. The Christmas message is first and foremost to those that do not know Him. And it is a message of God's desire to forgive your sin and God's provision that your sins may be forgiven. God's purpose in sending Jesus into this world was to seek and to save those that are lost. Friend of mine, today you can receive this peace child you can receive this Jesus right into your heart and into your life. You can repent of your sin. You can't change yourself, but you can change your mind. And if you change your mind today and want to let God into your life to change your life and change your destiny, change the atmosphere of your heart from being troubled and filled with anxiety to peace and tranquility, to the blessed assurance that should you draw your last breath today, you'll take your next breath in heaven. So even the sting of death has been removed the moment you receive this peace, child. Today, I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ. God has given unto us the word of reconciliation, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why He came, what He did at Calvary, and what He promises to do if we receive Him as our Lord and our personal Savior. Right where you are, this Christmas day, would you bow your heart and bow your head? If you don't know Christ, would you open your heart? Would you allow Him to come in and make peace and reconcile you unto God right here, this day, right now, this very moment? I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit is way ahead of me, that He's already beginning to speak to someone's heart. I'm so glad, so happy, so thrilled to be part of the great company that is publishing His peace to so many broken hearts and broken people. This is Christmas. This is Christmas. We love you today. If you're a Christian today and you know Jesus as your personal Savior, we invite you today to take some time from all of the other good, wonderful experiences of this day to experience anew and afresh just what it means to be saved. To thank Him, love Him, glorify Him, and serve Him all year long as if every day was Christmas Day. Ah, friend, Merry Christmas, Blessed Christmas, Holy Christmas, Joyous Christmas, Precious Savior, Wonderful God. Will you come back next week? Let's talk about Jesus.
Joyful and Boy.